This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo and Aaron Tarlow with you for another fine edition Saturday of this program. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. So we on this program, we talk about gun laws, we talk about Second Amendment rights, we talk about hunting, which we're going to talk a little bit about more on this show because our good friend Tim Shelsvik, the Thinking Woodsman, host of the Thinking Woodsman podcast, is going to be joining us in the second segment of the show, so don't go anywhere. We are closing in on deer season as far as rifles.
Yeah. Bow's going on now.
Yeah, bow season has begun.
Probably half our audience is gone out in the woods catching it on the podcast.
Yeah. I've never done bow hunting.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to take a few years. Every bow hunter I've talked to said, yeah, you're going to be out in the woods for 2 or 3 years. You're going to see deer. They're just going to be too far away.
Right. So, and if you're used to rifle hunting, that can be frustrating.
Very much so. What
used to be within range... It's no longer in range.
Right.
If you're bow hunting,
you got to get, you know, 20, 25 yards or closer. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to Tim Shelsvik about all that coming up in just a few minutes. First, breaking news. We got breaking news.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
New producer.
Oh, I was about to pull out the music.
No. The Zach Factor moving on to greener pastures.
It sounds like you're putting him down.
No.
You're just gonna like pull out a pistol and
no, he's got big Mark Cox show morning show duties now.
Yeah.
He can't be slumming down here with us on Saturdays.
I'm with you. It's bound to happen. Second Amendment Radio made another producer.
What is it, like our fourth one?
Pushed it over the edge.
Chad Ellis has joined the team. Well, we're going places, baby.
He'll be here for about 3 months.
No, he's going to be here a while.
Moving on to bigger things.
Chad's ready to go. Chad, how you feeling?
Feeling real good. Glad to be here.
Feeling good and looking good. Chad's ready.
So does he have a face for radio or a voice for radio?
I didn't like Zach anyway.
Yeah.
So it's all right that he's leaving. He's right here. Yeah. Zach is right here training Chad, so people understand. He just doesn't have a microphone to defend himself.
Yeah. Right. He could yell real loud, and these mics might
pick it
up. I
will say this, Chad. You don't have the name. Zach Factor is that's a pretty tough name to follow.
It is a tough name to follow. I just gotta show it with the work.
There you go. Yeah. We could come up, maybe Chad, we'll give Chad a radio name.
I was about to say, he needs to come up with I just went blank. It's not.
Well, Chad.
Stage name.
Welcome. There you go, a stage name. Welcome aboard. Feel free to chime in anytime you want to. If we're talking about something and you have a strong opinion about it, or you feel like, you know, we're missing a part of the conversation that we should be having, speak up. Feel free to speak up. Let us know what you think. Be a part of this show as much as Aaron and I, and welcome aboard.
For sure. Thank you guys for having me.
You bet.
I look forward to learning.
That's great. Is this the first show that you will be solely in charge of as a producer?
I do Randy's show.
Okay, work on Randy Tobler's show, right? Okay, very good. So
Dr. Tobler.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is a big Second Amendment supporter?
Yeah, I heard.
Maybe have him on the show sometime.
Yeah,
Chad can cross the streams there of his two programs.
Hey, listen, I watched a movie once where they crossed the streams and it did not work out well.
It did work out well. They saved New York.
It saved New York, but I mean, they got a little banged up.
Covered in marshmallow, but it was
a little banged up.
They were all right. All right, let's get into this thing.
Hold on, Chad, how old are you?
I am 26.
Okay, we got a millennial for a millennial.
Yeah.
All right,
it's
good.
10 years older than Zach, so...
Say what?
I said that's 10 years older than Zach, though.
Oh, Zach, what, 16?
Zach's a young man. You're not 26, are you? You're 23, right? 22?
So we traded up like 3 years. We got an older millennial.
10 years.
So I was like, "What is this? Wow. Is he a teenager? I mean, he's older. Is he in high school?
He's older. Zach's young. The Zach Factor.
He's got the baby face. He does have the
got
baby
the name,
face.
Man. Zach Factor. That name would go places in radio.
He's gonna have a show. Yeah. All right.
All right. Yeah. Let's get into this.
Yeah. Let's get into this. We blew 5 minutes.
Tell people about Southern Armory.
Southern Army, 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270 and 44, southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
Very good. It's always twice. You can throw it in there, too, if you want. We can go 3 times.
Yes.
Do firearm sales, new, used, and buy, sell, trade. We like buying guns. Come in. We turn used guns over pretty quick. So if you're wanting a specific gun, you should call and ask if we have it and then get put on a list. So then if it comes in, we'll call you, and we'll give you first dibs at it. As far as anything else going on, Glocktober is coming up.
Oh, yeah, Glocktober.
Yeah, the wife was like, you can probably mention that. So if you like Glocks, then the time to be buying it would be from us starting October 1st. We do shut it down last day of October, so when Halloween's here and those goblins and ghouls are flying away, it's over with. Don't really come in on November 1st or 2nd. But I need it. I'm like, right, we get it. So,
are Glocks one of the most popular brands of gun? Like, is it not just one of the most popular, but is it like one of the elites? Like one of the brands people just really, if they like them, they don't want anything else but Glocks.
So people, it's either a love hate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So either they love Glocks or they hate them. And generally,
and if they love them, they don't want anybody. They don't want anything else, right?
They're kind of like me. I like Glocks a lot. I started, first few handguns were Glocks, and the reason I got them was because they just worked. You know, I wanted to spend my time shooting and not clearing malfunctions and figuring out what the heck was going on. Mm-hmm. So I bought a Glock, and I bought a Glock 19.
Is that their hook?
They just work.
They don't jam. That they're better operating gun.
They're more reliable. They approach that reliability of a revolver, which is nice. With that being said, anytime I wanted to get into a new caliber, so 940, 45, 380, 10 mil, I went and bought a Glock, and then I got into the caliber that way, and then from there, I started buying. SIGs and 1911s and wheel guns, and just kind of expanding out from there.
What are the most popular gun makers? Like the ones that you probably sell the most of?
Glock, Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Sig Sauer.
Yeah.
Are probably the big four.
Yeah.
There might be some more sub brands in there that actually have a measurable percentage.
But
those would be the big four. And then within those brands, there are certain guns that you should have. Give you an example, like Glock 19.
Is that the starter gun? Is that the most universal handgun?
If you needed a handgun and you wanted it to be, what I'm talking about, reliable, you're not going to have issues with it. You're going to spend more time shooting than figuring stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn some good technique. And it's forgiving. It's a forgiving gun.
Which means what?
So if you like limp wristed or you have a poor grip, it's still going to cycle for you.
Gotcha.
Where other guns would be not as forgiving, they'd be like, nope, we're just not going to work. So Glock 19 would be one. Ruger 10/22, I would put that on the list. I would also throw a lever action in there. Marlin's a big name in the lever action world. I've got a Marlin myself. 30/30 would be your most popular caliber for deer. Tons of deer get shot with 30/30s. So I've got the 45/70. I wanted something a little bit bigger.
Wait a minute, a handgun?
30/30 lever action rifle.
Okay.
Yeah. But I really like Henry rifles. Mm-hmm. So if you you're not brand loyal, and you got to remember, Marlin got bought out. So Marlin is not the company it was when
it's
I bought
Marlin. It's like it's like Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, buying up.
If you used to just drink Bud Light because of the St. Louis connection, knock it off.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's in Bev now, baby.
Right.
But no, with that being said, I bought a Marlin. It was still, purely owned by Marlin. The quality was real high and everything. And then, not saying that Marlin's not a good quality still. It's just not the old Marlin. It's new. And
I want to go back to something you said about
something
the Glock 19.
Always gets lost. Yeah, what's up?
I never thought of the firmness that you would hold a gun affecting how it fired. I obviously it would affect the aim or affect maybe you as far as the kickback. You might do something dangerous with the gun because you don't have a firm grip.
Yeah.
But why would it cause the gun not to work?
It's called limp wristing.
Yeah.
And so what happens is when you shoot the pistol, the slide has to cycle back. If your wrist is not held, you know, I don't want to say like 100% straight, but you're not firm with it, that slide, you'll absorb all the recoil instead of letting the slide reciprocate the full way. So that it'll like basically short stroke the slide.
So would it fire once and then be jammed, or would it not fire at all?
So it would fire once. And then it would either fail to extract, so FTE would be fail to extract. It would stovepipe, or it would fail to feed. FTF would be the abbreviation.
What's stovepipe mean?
Stovepipe is it looks like a stovepipe coming out of the top of your gun.
And you've damaged the gun?
No, you've jammed it.
Okay.
So the cartridge is, you know, the projectile is off, so there's a hole. It looks like a pipe coming out, a stovepipe coming out of your roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's either up, straight up out of the gun, or off to the side, and we teach that malfunction in our advanced pistol classes. So if you didn't know what failure to extract, failure to fire, or stovepipe are, we've got a defensive pistol class coming up October 21st.
It's Glocktober.
And it's in Glocktober on top of that. So you can buy a Glock and you'd get a discount on the class. So like October 7th, we have a CCW class. October 20th, we have a CCW class. October 21st, we have an advanced pistol class. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the cool thing. If you do a CCW class with us, we give you money off on the advanced pistol class. And I forget how much that is off the top of my head. I'm sure my wife is yelling at the radio. It's, it's this amount. I'll probably get a text here in a little
Make
bit.
One up. You're the owner.
I could. Well, I mean,
right?
I am
the boss.
I am the HMFIC.
You guys figure those out.
Yeah, I give you its head, mother,
right
in charge.
We got it.
So, no,
get money off.
Yeah, you get money off. If you buy a gun from us, you get $25 off. I want to say you get $40 or $50 off on a advanced pistol class. Brings it down to $100. And then on the CCW class, when you buy a gun from us, you get $25 off any class. So you'll get class for $100. So if you buy a gun, take a CCW, you get it for $100. Take the CCW and then sign up for the advanced pistol, you get it for $100. Otherwise, it's $125 and $150.
Gotcha.
So,
all right.
And then,
we have...
and then the first responder discount, $75 for either or. And
That's
we are
amazing.
And we are
That's
blue,
great.
We are a blue label dealer too. So you bring in your EMT license, paramedic license. Your police officer credential card, your fire department credential card, or if you're on a hazmat team, we've got guys out there that just do hazmat. You can bring in that, and then there's other stuff that qualifies you for the program too. But those right there, those five, will get you a discount on classes and on Glocks.
Right.
So
always harping on questions on this show. Send them to me on Twitter at TonyColombo971. Send them to the Southern Armory Facebook page, or probably the best place to send questions is the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page. We try to get to everybody's questions on a weekly basis. I've got more coming up later in the show. Don't forget, next segment we are going to talk to Tim Shelsvik, the Thinking Woodsman podcast host, about the upcoming hunting season. One question I want to get to in the few minutes that we have left in this segment was, this is actually, people were not necessarily asking questions, but they were sending me the link to these different stories that's been going around this week about Democrats. No, there's no longer a such thing as a pro-gun Democrat.
Really?
If you remember,
well, I didn't think any of them were ever pro-gun.
Well, no, there were Democrats that had A-plus ratings with
Nixon
the NRA.
Nixon was pretty pro-gun. He was a governor.
Just in 2016, the Greitens race. I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on who ran against Greitens for the governor of Missouri.
The loser.
Yeah, Eric Cantor, something like that.
I don't know.
He had an A-plus rating with the NRA.
Did he?
But now they're saying, and that was just as far back as 2 years ago.
Right.
So
Missouri Democrats are kind of a special breed.
Right, I know. But yeah. But now it's like it's not even allowed. Like if you're a Democrat, you're not even you will be they will turn your back on you if you have any association with the NRA.
So
gun rights, Second Amendment rights.
Those Democrats that have been disavowed,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, I'll take that.
Sure.
And now are disenchanted with the Democratic Party. Guess what, guys? You're welcome to come over to the dark side. Come on over.
Right?
We're accepting over here.
Doesn't that really put people at risk of alienating a bunch of voters?
Yeah,
by just carving out a section,
you know,
and saying
it's funny because I work with some people on the ambulance that are,
you know, there,
like,
used to be pro-life Democrats,
yeah.
pro-gun Democrats, and now it's like they're not even. This is not even a term anymore.
You can't
not
even
allowed
be
to be
it,
right?
But they are pro-gun owners, and this will be a shout out to my boy Ian. Ian told me, Aaron, I listen to NPR when I clean my guns. And I about wrecked the ambulance. Like, I was like, really, dude? So,
yeah, it's a sad state when you can't even
right. And it's funny
have
I
an
have,
independent thought. And
I have some, you know, Democratic views. You know, I mean, I'm just not a straight up, you know, conservative. Like, I have some
right
views that are kind of left leaning. You know, when it comes to social responsibility for taking care of people, I'm not to the extreme that the Democrats are, but there's
Chris Coster. This is driving me crazy.
Oh, okay.
Chris Coster was the, was the Democratic, nominee for Missouri governor.
Do you have Democratic
and
views?
And he was he got the NRA support over Eric Reitens.
Yeah, I do remember that.
He got
Eric didn't have a track record either, and they go based on track record
right,
for donations.
Right,
so he was kind of an unknown.
So that was just 2 years ago, and now the Democrats have gone to a place where you're not even allowed to be in the party, basically,
yep.
if you're going to be pro-gun.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know something? Let's wrap up this segment.
Yeah.
You're listening to Second Amendment Radio on 97.1 KFTK, St. Louis. You got to do it. You got to identify. I mean, it is what it is.
Evan,
you can laugh at me.
Let's go to break.
All right.
Talk to Tim Shelsvik, the Thinking Woodsman, host of the Thinking Woodsman podcast. Talk to him next on Second Amendment Radio. Don't go anywhere. This is FM News Talk 97.1.
KFTK.
Hello, welcome back to Second Amendment Radio. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with the owner of Southern Armory, Aaron Tarlow. Our new producer, Chad Ellis, in the studio. Our old producer, Zach Factor, is in the studio, too, helping Chad. And joining us on the phone now is our good friend, Tim Shelsvik. Tim is the host of the Thinking Woodsman podcast. That is a project of his that he's been doing for years. We've talked to him on this show and other shows on the radio station about that. And then, Tim, you have some new projects, some new podcasts, and some new things that you're working on. So before we get into all that, tell us about the new shows and all the new stuff that you are up to.
Sure. Hello, homeboys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. So I'm working with Drury Outdoors now. Doing that full time, which is awesome. I mean, they are been doing hunting shows, deer and turkey shows since 1989. So we're almost approaching our 30-year anniversary of
wow.
being in the hunting industry, which is a huge honor for me to be a part of that. So we host a podcast of our own called the Drury Outdoors 100% Wild Podcast, and that launches about every week. And we have nationally recognized hunting experts. So, like, the talent that I was getting for the Thinking Woodsman show, like the Tony Colombos of the world, we're getting, like, the Levi Morgans of the world, which are high-level.
Way bigger deal.
A little bit bigger than a Tony Colombo,
was a big deal.
Not a whole lot. Aaron Tarlow, it's kind of a given. You get him, like, your show is set.
That means you've made it. You get Aaron Tarlow, and you've
made
it.
I'm waiting on that invite to go hunt, by the way.
It's called getting Tarlowed, and you're good. Like being a Don and being made.
That's right. That's right. I've been Tarlowed.
Yes.
It means the show is set for life. What's the name of that podcast one more time?
the Drury Outdoors 100% Wild podcast. Drury, like the hotel chain, Drury Outdoors. Yeah. You can find it on iTunes and the Google Play Store and Stitcher, you know, all those places where you normally find podcasts. So, yeah, that's we typically talk about deer hunting, turkey hunting, land management, herd management, those kind of things. And kind of the one of the topics we've been touching on here recently is chronic wasting disease, because if you're a deer hunter, that's it's top of everyone's mind. We're all concerned, and you know, people want to make sure they're getting the truth, and there's a lot of differing opinions out there on what causes it and how it affects deer and how it could affect our hunting industry, which is like an $11 billion industry when you factor in whitetail hunting. So it's a big topic. So we did a whole show on chronic wasting disease.
Well, can you give us the quick version of it? Like, what is the truth? What is it? What causes it? And why is it bad? And how do we stop it? All those 30 seconds.
So,
go.
So I cannot do that. I'll give you a thumbnail sketch of the issue.
Sure.
And then I encourage folks to dig in on their own and do some research. But chronic wasting disease is similar to mad cow disease from the early 2000s. If folks remember all the bans on beef that were in place, it's a prion-based disease, which is a misfolded protein that causes brain tissue to form holes in it. So essentially, the animal's brain becomes like Swiss cheese, and the animal dies. And unfortunately, the prions are not alive. They're misfolded proteins, so they persist in the soil for years. They can't be incinerated. These animals continue to generate prions and shed them into the environment, making it possible for other deer to be infected. And once deer are infected, the biologists believe that it's a life sentence. They could have it for 16 months and they eventually succumb to it. So that's kind of what the biologists are saying. There are opposing views. People think that CWD has been out west for a long time and elk have had it for a long time. And it's just kind of a natural part of the environmental ebb and flow, and it'll come and go just like everything else. And there are other folks who don't think so and have grave concerns.
Well, it's been going on, it seems like, for a decade now.
Yeah, I think that they first discovered CWD in elk in the 60s or 70s out west. And so now people are like, well, what's the big deal that it's in the Midwest? It's been around for a long time. Well, it's spreading, and it's here in Missouri. There have been cases that have been found, and so this deer season, make sure if you are a deer hunter, make sure that you're paying attention to the regulations, because those have changed a lot in regards to the ability to feed deer or to put out mineral sites, or even if you kill a deer during, I think, the first couple of days of rifle season, in a particular count in particular counties, you have to get those deer checked. So the rules and the regulations are changing fast and furiously as the biologists try to figure out how to get ahead of this, because there are some people that think this could be an extinction level type of an issue if we don't get ahead of it.
So go ahead
real quick.
Yeah.
For those of the younger generation that have just started hunting really in the last, it seems, decade, they're probably not going to know that there used to be conservation used to go put up places to actually check your deer.
The old check-in stations.
Yep, and they have since stopped doing that. Now it's, you know, you call it in on your phone or you log on to the internet and you check it, and then you get a confirmation number back. So it is, you know, really, and that stopped probably, a decade ago? Like 2005, 2006-ish, so...
So Tim, is there preventative measures that people can take to stop or slow down or is it more of, we want to get a better handle on how widespread it is, so we need to monitor it as closely as we can?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, like, any real issue in life has a lot of complexities to it, and so with CWD, the first step is helping people become aware that it is an issue. And you know, for years, hunters have been saying you can't let animal populations go unchecked because diseases will spread and epidemics happen. Well, we're on the doorstep of one right now because we've allowed deer to get out of control in terms of their population densities.
Yeah.
So that's typically part of the strategy. Most departments of conservation or DNRs will go in and they will take out. They'll do major culling of deer because the best way to spread it is through other deer. Well, if you limit population densities, you limit the ability for this prion to spread. And that's kind of the main tool that conservation agencies use to slow the spread. And hunters are the main tool to do that. Otherwise, they're bringing sharpshooters in, and it really ticks people off because the optics are bad. Hunters don't like that because it's like, hey, you just shot my whole herd. Now I got nothing to hunt. And there's just a lot of tentacles to this. And I really do encourage folks to do some research and get informed on it and understand all sides, because there's a lot going on with chronic wasting disease right now.
This whole conversation highlights a point that I find myself still shocked that people don't realize, and it's that there are still a large percentage of people, which is hard to believe, but there's still so many people out there that believe that hunters, you know, are gun people that just want to go kill something. And it's the people, it's the outdoorsmen, it's the hunters and the fishermen. You'll never see a hunter or a leave some trash on the ground in the woods. You'll never see a fisherman dump trash into a lake or a river. It's these kind of issues that you're talking about right now that the hunters are the ones on the front lines trying to protect the animals, trying to protect the environment, trying to protect the woods and the forest. And people don't, it's unbelievable that people don't realize that. And I know that's a part of your big message in all the podcasts and stuff that you talk about. So just if you can just expand on that point just a little bit on how much work you see yourself and other outdoorsmen doing to preserve wildlife, not destroy it.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I think the difference between like a hardcore animal rights activist and the typical hunter is that a hardcore animal rights activist has a vague concept of a species, whereas the hunter has a very intimate knowledge, not only of the species at large, but also the individual animals that he or she comes in contact with. And I think that distinction is so much, you talk about like an organic understanding and a grassroots understanding. Boy, I mean, you talk to a hunter and they know when populations are up or down. They know when animals are sick, or they know when something's off in the environment. They have a personal connection there. Whereas I think a lot of animal rights activists just have this vague concept that we need to protect all animals at all costs. And there's never a reason to harvest them. And that's just like, I mean, maybe hundreds of years ago before we came to this country, maybe that would have been okay, but we've already done enough interventions to the environment. Now we're stuck as the managers and the stewards of it. So we got to do something. Right. And that's, and hunters put their money where their mouth is, and there are yahoo hunters out there. We have to accept that, just like there are, really far fringe animal rights activists, but the reasonable, the bulk and majority of hunters, the bulk of my friends that hunt, we intimately care about the environment, the habitat, and the animals that are in it. So
the other thing is I always get a few deer tags.
Mm-hmm.
If I shoot one deer, any other deer I shoot goes to share the harvest. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeding hungry.
Right.
So it's not a.
Yeah, it's not a group of savages.
Right.
It's
we're just not shooting.
And like Tim said, every group of people, every type of person, you're always going to find. You said yahoos in that crowd, but for the most part, you'll find more compassion in that outdoorsman group than you would anywhere else. So deer hunting season has started, as far as I think bow season is underway for both deer and turkey. Rifle season is coming up. Talk about when rifle season is, when that gets into full swing, and also tell us about deer cast.
Yeah. So rifle season in Missouri starts November 10th.
Yep.
And so that's when the Orange Army mobilizes, and it's a major economic boon to our state. And you know, I just encourage people to be safe, be out there shooting your guns before that date to make sure you're sighted in. Every deer that you intend to take deserves a clean and ethical shot. So you know, make sure you're going to places like Southern Armory and you know, they're taking a look at your gun. You don't want to just pull it out from under the bed. Blow
it's not Tim's first rodeo. He knows how to call it. He knows how to bring it.
That's right. Well, you got to go to people that know what they're doing. And there are shops out there where, you know, they don't know exactly what's going on. They don't have experienced people. Anyone can own a business.
Right. And actually, it's funny. I just got done mounting and leveling and bore sighting three rifles. And Friday is range day at Southern Armory. So generally on Friday, if you bring your gun in, that's the day we're going and we're getting them, you know, after we've mounted them and we torque them down to the right spec.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just go, oh, it's hand tight. Well, no, there's a spec it needs to be in, and it's an inch pounds, and you got to have the right tools. So we got that. Mm-hmm. And then we level them. So your crosshairs are perfectly level, 90 degrees to one another.
Yeah.
We bore sight it and we go shoot them.
Nice.
So not only do you have the safety factor, but also you put a lot of time and money and resource into getting close enough to a deer to kill it. You want the bullet to go where you point the gun.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, too many guys get out there opening day and they got a deer at 100 yards. They take the shot and the deer just runs off and nothing happens. Well, they probably weren't sighted in, and you know, you bump a scope and things can change over time.
And actually, I did that one year, bumped a scope and
messes everything up.
Yeah, I had to go to my 4570 Marlin
and all right.
use iron sights.
Right. So tell us about DeerCast, Tim.
Yeah, DeerCast is a new mobile app that we've launched through Drury Outdoors. It is a revolutionary deer movement forecaster. So it takes the 70 combined years of Mark and Terry Drury's whitetail hunting experience and factors in 11 different weather factors. And then puts them through this algorithm that inputs real-time weather data for whatever location the user chooses, and then it spits out a 5-day deer movement forecast.
So here's the good news: the forecast for Saturday and Sunday is great and good.
The
cold front coming through this weekend is going to be awesome. If you're a bow hunter, you should be out in the tree stand this weekend because it's seen that the barometer is rising, cool front's coming through, and that's going to be killer for deer. But not only do you get the deer movement forecaster, but you also get our entire VHS and DVD library back to 1989, which is over 30,000 minutes of well-produced hunt footage. So you can go back and watch that, stream it all for free. We also, our friends at Mossy Oak have teamed up, and they are putting their TV shows in DeerCast as well. We also have a feed where I get to be the editor-in-chief of DeerCast, so we get to put articles up in there every day, and we're showing people real-time shots, the impact shot from the field. So Mark Drury killed a great deer on, I think it was Wednesday.
9/19. Mm-hmm. Look at this bad boy. I got the app pulled up right now.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
That's a good size rack.
So you don't have to wait for the show to come out next year. You can go on DeerCast and you can see the actual shot there in real time on your phone. So it's never been done before. DeerCast is really going to change the way people hunt. And we've got 62,000 folks that have registered and are on it and using it, which is great.
62,001, Aaron Tarlow. He's on 62,001.
Yep.
We just got tarload, y'all.
Look at this monster out of Missouri.
Yeah,
take an opening day on bow season.
That's great.
Yeah, so we're highlighting kills across the country. Someone shoots a thumper. We're gonna write a story about it and put it up there so folks can be in the loop and know what's being
All
killed,
right.
where.
So see what I get on rifle season here with my new rifle.
So this is we've been talking to Tim Shelsvik. Unfortunately, Tim, we're out of time, but I want to have you back on again, maybe right at the beginning of rifle season. To talk a little bit more about DeerCast and a couple of other things, regarding hunting season as we are now, like you said, the Orange Army gets ready to mobilize. Before we let you go, one more time, tell us about the 100% Wild podcast and anything else that you got going on out there that people can go check out.
Yeah, sure. So folks can go to DrearyOutdoors.com /podcast or /DeerCast and find out more about either one of those things. And if folks want to hear directly from me and my show, it's thethinkingwoodsman.com, where you find me on social media.
Very good. Tim Shelsvik, The Thinking Woodsman, Thinking Woodsman Podcast, and the Drury Outdoors 100% Wild Podcast. Thanks again for coming on. We'll talk to you again real soon, Tim.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks.
All right, you bet. Take a quick break. We'll come back with more. Don't go anywhere. Second Amendment Radio continues right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Aaron Tarlow, new producer Chad Ellis in studio with you. Just talked to Tim Shelsvik, the Thinking Woodsman, host of the Thinking Woodsman podcast, also a host of the Drury Outdoors 100% Wild podcast. Go to thinkingwoodsman.com to find more about Tim Shelsvik, a great guy. And also, don't forget, you can go to 971talk.com. You can click on podcasts and find this fine program in the list of all the other fine programs here on the radio station. And you can podcast the show, take it with you for free. If you missed that interview with Tim or you want to hear some of it again, some of that great information about the DeerCast app, go back and check out the podcast, absolutely free, and listen to it again anytime you want. So I want to get back into a couple of these questions. Please continue to send us your questions. They have been great. Go to the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page. Go to the Southern Armory Facebook page. Follow me on Twitter at TonyColombo971. Send us your questions throughout the week, and we'll try to answer all of them as the week goes on. Had somebody send me a question asking us to revisit the issue of felons and the whole felons can't have guns even if they were guilty of a nonviolent crime in the past. So this person asked me, they asked if you were guilty of something like tax evasion 10 years ago, can you really never own a gun?
Right.
Is that a true story?
If it's a felony. Yeah.
Yeah. So felony tax evasion or money laundering or something
felony,
like that.
Felony anything.
Not robbing.
Remember Al Capone?
Yeah.
You know what he went to jail for?
Mail fraud. Is that right or wrong?
Tax evasion.
Tax evasion. Okay. Yeah. I knew it was something like that. But anyway. But so you're not a violent felon. You're not robbing cars, you're not robbing banks, you're doing something a nonviolent and
right.
So in the state of Missouri, or is that a federal law?
Federal thing, yeah.
Is there any movement out there to try to restore the gun rights of some of these folks? Or is it just like, is it a fight that whether you agree with it or not, is it a fight that nobody wants to take up?
It would be a career ender for a politician. They're trying to give felons guns.
And does it come off if whether you're a politician or not? If we're just two guys on the radio like we are right now, and we're talking about, hey, these people should have gun rights. Do people just look at us like, is it like you're crazy? Why are they even having this conversation? Is it one of those situations where it's an unwinnable discussion no matter what?
Yeah, it's unwinnable. What you can do is you can pay an attorney. Because there is a way to get rid of the felony.
Yeah. Right? Do you have to get the felony removed from your record?
Right. You have to get it expunged.
Right.
You go before a judge and you say, Judge, it was 10 years ago. I didn't pay some taxes. And the judge is either going to agree or disagree. And that's that. And if he goes, yep, we'll remove it from your record, it'll be expunged, then you're not a felon anymore. But at the same time,
it's kind of like getting a marriage annulled.
Yes.
You were married once, and now you weren't. Now you were never married.
Right.
You were a felon once, but now you were never a felon.
Right. So with that being said, you know, it is kind of a, you know, we get that in the shop, you know, when Missouri passed the new concealed carry law, mm-hmm. right, that were, you know, anybody could conceal carry without a permit. People were thinking that, you know, expunged, nullified their felonies and that they could come in and buy guns.
Mm.
And we would have to explain to these individuals that if you're a felon, you're always a felon,
mm-hmm.
unless you hire an attorney and get it expunged. It's not cheap to do.
I was gonna say how much of a process is that? Length?
I think
and
that
cost?
It would depend.
I mean, I know everything's different, but just general.
I think I bet you'd be looking at $10,000.
Yeah,
it's probably a retainer, and then it would depend on what the felony was. You know, tax evasion 20 years ago. You've been current ever since, never mm-hmm. been in trouble, mm-hmm. probably pretty easy.
Right. Where do you think the fair line is? Not where the line in real life is, but do you think that it doesn't matter? You committed a felony, you should have to go through a very long process to get it removed.
Well, I think you and I talked about like an arbitrary number of like 25 years or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and if you've never had a felony in 25 years, mind you, you shouldn't have been incarcerated. You know,
right.
You know, like after that 25-year point,
right?
Then you know, have you been successfully rehabilitated
mm-hmm.
Into society, et cetera? And are you a responsible citizen?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go one step further. You know, look at sex offenders,
mm-hmm.
right? Kind of a hot topic button, but they have to register after they've done their sentence.
Mm-hmm.
They went to jail for 5 years or 10 years. They've been chemically castrated. They've gone through therapy. They've mm-hmm. gone through halfway houses,
mm-hmm.
probation, parole.
But they still have to register.
But now you have to register.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that don't like that either.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I personally kind of like knowing.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
agreed.
What I'm saying? I mean,
agreed.
I got kids.
Agreed. But I don't know that I don't know that I think that a person that was guilty of a nonviolent crime,
felony,
15
right.
years ago
should
not have gun rights.
Right. And that's kind of the slippery slope.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't think the politicians are going to touch it.
Right.
Because once you do that, you know, if a Republican takes that up, Democrats are going to own that seat.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then kind of take that a little bit further. I think even the Republicans in that district would, or that state would feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly, there is a method to do it. Hire an attorney, get it expunged.
Right.
But with that being said, don't just hire any attorney. You know, the guy that fixed your traffic ticket is probably not the guy to handle it.
Right, right.
The
Make
guy
sure
that
you
did
get
your,
the, yeah, somebody
did your
who's
divorce
got experience.
Or did your bankruptcy is not the guy to handle that. You really need to do some research, interview, and, you know, have them give you, you know, if you're going to do it, you know, call around to other attorneys and ask, I'm looking to get something expunged. And other attorneys know one another. They're going to say, you know, the guy to go to is, you know, Tim Jones.
Right.
And go talk to Tim and tell him I sent you. Because mm-hmm. they like to refer business to one another.
Yep.
So
just a few minutes to go.
Yeah.
I had another tweet sent to me this week after we had one of the parents on Annie's show this week. We talked to one of the parents that lost a child at Majorie Stoneman Douglas High School, one of the parents that has gone on to continue to, it was the one, the high school down in Florida with the most recent shooting where the sheriffs didn't go in
yeah.
immediately. We talked to one of the parents who lost his daughter in that shooting. This gentleman has been working with lawmakers down in the state of Florida and got a bill passed that allows schools all across the state of Florida to put armed security in their schools, right?
Cough clap.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody tweeted me and said, I'd love for you guys to talk a little bit about this on Second Amendment Radio. To me, how is this not just a common sense?
Well, it's
at
already,
least you don't have, if you don't
allowed.
Want to put an arm, if you
Missouri,
don't want,
Missouri's
if you don't
got
want
it.
To put armed security in your schools, that's
right.
your choice. But to keep up 25 years ago at Hazelwood Central, we had an armed police officer
right.
And when I went
to Oakville Senior High, we had an armed police officer. But Missouri does have a bill that allows staff members to carry. The big thing is it has to be approved by the school district in a closed session, and they have to have additional training, and it's on the books. It's just no schools are doing it.
Right. All right, just about a minute to go. One more time, Southern Armory.
Yep, Southern Armory, 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 27044, southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
We like to buy, sell, trade guns, used, new. We do suppressor sales, ammunition, do gunsmithing. So if you need a barrel fit, sights installed, a scope for your upcoming trip out to join the Orange Army, mm-hmm. as our guest put
as
it,
Tim
which was
said,
awesome.
Yes.
we mount those. Get in now. Just because the gunsmith side, you know, that stuff will take priority. But, you know, you want to get that gun. And the one thing I do after I you know, level scope, mount scope, and sight it in, go shoot this gun. Mm-hmm. So that way they know, you know, how it's going to shoot.
And if you're a big fan of Glocks,
Glocktober.
Wait just a couple of weeks.
Not even really. You're talking what's...
Yeah,
you know,
10 days.
Yeah, not
less
even.
Than 10 days,
yeah,
a
like,
week.
Yeah, a week.
Gosh, you're right. It is that close.
And it's going to start. We'll be talking about it next week.
Yeah.
I am a certified Glock armor. Also, you know, a few other things too. But yeah, you can buy a Glock. You can have us accessorize that Glock. We carry holsters, extra magazines, all that good stuff for them. So Glocktober
at Southern Armory. That's southernarmory.com. All right, that's going to wrap up another edition of Second Amendment Radio. If you missed anything or you want to hear it again, go to 971talk.com. Go to the podcast page and download the podcast absolutely free. For our new producer, Chad Ellis, and Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, I am Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio. We will see you next Saturday at 3 p.m. right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Have a great weekend.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.